We watched the roundtable with yourself, Arden Shai, and Arash yesterday. Who's trimming your hair? Everyone else definitely needs to find a barber, but that's looking tight, buddy. What's going on?
Thanks. Yeah, my girlfriend has done a pretty good job. I think, you know, the first time, because we've probably done it a couple times now, and the first trim, you know, that you have a couple patches, and then the second time, I think it actually looks pretty good. So, you know, there's all these new discoveries that we're all making here in quarantine.
Yeah.
No, it was a lot of trust there. A lot of trust.
Yeah. Because, you know, not to throw it, but I mean, Shai, it's very thick, right? And it's getting very, very large. The circumference is getting bigger. Whereas with Arden, his hair is kind of like mine. It's thick on the sides, not so much on the top, a little spotty. So, you know, you were definitely, and Arash is Arash. So you were the most charming and handsome of that round table for sure. So congrats on that.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, congrats.
It's a nice way to start the day. A nice nice little recap of the round table. That's good. Thank you.
So obviously you and your brethren watching closely the MLB draft last night, Jays knew it was going to be, Jays fans knew it would be exciting. One way or the other, pick five, they're going to get an exciting prospect. Would not have expected it to be Austin Martin. And with time having now passed, I guess your thoughts on why in many ways, the consensus number two pick fell to five in the Blue Jays.
Man, what a development for the Blue Jays. You look at Austin Martin, and by a lot of measures, he was the top player in the draft. I mean, you look at outlets like The Athletic or MLB Network, a lot of them were ranking him as the top player in the draft, period. And then even the ones that weren't had him second. So Baseball America had him second, MLB Pipeline had him second. This is a player who was, objectively speaking, a top two talent in the draft. And the Blue Jays were picking fifth. They had no reason to expect that he would be available, and yet there he was. So this is really one of those moments where it's the test that, you know, every executive says we'll take the best player available. Well, the Blue Jays had to decide, are we going to stick to our plan, or are we actually going to take the best player available? And they did. They took him, and this is it's a huge moment, really, for the Blue Jays. This guy has a ton of potential, and he's not that far off.
And widely considered to be the best hitter in the draft. We had Ben Wagner on yesterday kind of teeing it up, and he really felt we need a power arm, get a pitcher. But I guess when this guy falls to five and is considered to be not just the best, it's not just a slugger, but his patience at the plate seems to be one of his kudos as well. You adapt, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you're looking at a player here who does a lot of things well. You're looking at really his primary calling card as an offensive player being his ability to make contact. So he is not going to swing and miss much. And when he makes contact, it's going to be line drives. Now, a lot of people think, including the Blue Jays, that he has a chance to add a lot of power, and that eventually, you know, 5-6 years down the road, or potentially sooner, he could be a guy who adds power to that as well. But then you add the defensive versatility, and this is someone who can play some second base, some third base, some shortstop, some center field, and you're looking at, I mean, is this guy the Blue Jays version of Ben Zobrist, of Justin Turner, of Marwin Gonzalez? I mean, you know, a little different than those guys because he's not a switch hitter the way Gonzalez and Zobrist are, but this is a really good, versatile, well-rounded player who should make the Blue Jays farm system better instantly and potentially make their major league team better within a couple of years.
Ben Nicholson-Smith with Sportsnet, our guest here on Boomer in the Morning. Ryan?
What is the option for a player in terms of the leverage with signability? He's already a college guy. We don't know what the future is this coming season for college baseball. I think they only played 16 games at Vanderbilt this very abbreviated spring. How does this signability get measured versus other years? It's totally different.
Yeah, like so many things, it is totally different. And, you know, I think in most years, if you're a college player, you have less leverage than a high school player. I still think that probably holds true this year. He could say, yeah, I'm going to go back to Vanderbilt and, you know, I'm going to play my senior year. But this is a guy who's looking at likely a $6 million bonus. So he is going to get paid handsomely. And the Blue Jays might have to adjust with some of their picks today. Maybe pick some guys who will sign below slot, because if Martin's going to cost them a bit more, they have to make that adjustment. But I think it'll still be worth it, because it's just not that often that you get a chance to take a player of this caliber. And even if that means picks in the subsequent rounds suffer a little bit, you know, I still think you know, if you're looking at a guy who a lot of people consider the best player in the draft, that's worth it. You got to take that shot.
Him sliding to, you know, not go number one from Detroit, and then the Orioles pass him, it's like, wow, that was unusual. But then subsequently, you see Kansas City pass. I believe Florida was in there as well. What's the explanation that you've heard for those two clubs passing on a potentially top player in the draft type talent?
Yeah, so interesting. I mean, I thought he was going to Baltimore, and then they end up taking a different college player, an outfielder. And at that point, you know, you have to think that the Marlins would be interested, but instead, you know, they went with a college pitcher. And then at number four, the Royals went with Asa Lacy, who was objectively speaking the guy that people thought was the best college pitcher out there. So the Jays just had everything go their way, really. And I thought, you know, a guy like Nick Gonzalez might have been a nice pick for them, another college infielder. But Austin Martin, objectively speaking, in the eyes of scouts, in the eyes of the industry, is a better hitter. So you're still looking at someone who's close to the majors, still looking at someone with elite bat-to-ball skills. But Martin is someone who has more upside, who has really more potential to impact the major league team. And this is just something unexpected for the Blue Jays, but it left them feeling, to borrow Shane Farrell's words, their scouting director, ecstatic.
Where does he play, and when do they have to figure it out? He was announced as a shortstop, despite not playing much shortstop for Vanderbilt this year.
Right, and so the question of where he plays is interesting, both as far as position and then, you know, like physically, where does he go? Because there's no minor league season expected. The position question, I think, they're going to keep it open. They're going to keep working him at different positions, talk to him. My guess, knowing the way the Blue Jays operate, is they're going to try to have him play one of the premium positions first, so either shortstop or center field. Of course, you mix in some second, some third, maybe some left field, just to keep things interesting. But they're going to see how he looks at those premium spots. And by the way, they could use a center fielder. So that's where things start from the position standpoint. If it turns out he struggles at one of those positions, you can move off of that later. And then, you know, as far as what happens next with his development, that's something the Jays are really being close-lipped on. If they know what the plan is for how they would start developing these draftees, they're not saying. So that's one of the other interesting things in this kind of COVID world that we all exist in right now.
So extended spring would probably be one option. There's a thought that the Arizona Fall League could be huge this year, but it also falls the time of the year where people are kind of bracing for a second wave. How do you sort of assess the options or the probabilities of what he does?
Yeah, those are both, I think, realistic possibilities. I mean, the other thought that comes to mind is teams are expected to have this kind of taxi squad of, say, 10 or 15 or 20 additional players who are not technically on the major league roster once the season gets going. I don't think the Blue Jays would roster a guy who was just drafted on that taxi squad. I think that's probably putting a bit too much pressure on him. So I do think that the most likely outcome would be to have him play in some sort of extended spring environment. But even then, I mean, right now, if he has access to the Vanderbilt facilities, which are cutting edge, which are, you know, really among the industry leaders, and until a couple of years ago, the Vanderbilt facilities would have been better than probably half the teams in baseball. So he's in a good spot if he has access to those right now. There's no need to rush him away from that environment, but it's really a situation that doesn't have a playbook at this point for the Jays.
Last one for me. Tell us about the human. What makes this young man tick and, you know, has made him so successful in this sport?
Another great question. And I don't know a ton about him as a human. I've seen the highlights. Here's what I can tell you. Shane Farrell, again, the scouting director on the call last night, described Austin Martin as a baseball rat. So you kind of have the image there of someone who wants to spend a lot of time around the field, someone who's willing to put the work in, someone who is not afraid of getting a little bit dirty if that's what it takes to improve. So that's the image that I have of him right now. He's going to have to do a lot of work to make the major league level. There's no question about that, even someone as talented as he is. So more work awaits him for sure, and maybe that mentality will come in handy as he works his way up through the minor leagues.
Chatting about Austin Martin, the Blue Jays' fifth overall selection from yesterday's first round of the MLB draft with Ben Nicholson-Smith, here on Boomer in the Morning with Will Nault.
Ben, I guess just bigger picture, maybe moving away from the draft for a couple of seconds. I don't really care to ask you about the negotiations because they've been crazy between the Players Association and the league. But I thought it was interesting that Commissioner Rob Manfred said yesterday that there's a 100% chance that the league will play this summer. He will make the decision himself if he has to on an opening day. What do you make of that, and what does that mean, I guess, as we sit here today on the 11th of June?
It is interesting. And like you say, the calendar does play a role here. I mean, it's one thing to say we're going to have baseball, but then if you want everything wrapped up by the end of October, and it's now June, and players have not yet returned to spring training, you start running into some obstacles from a time frame. I think big picture, look, it's great to have baseball back. It's great to hear that kind of optimism. Now, there are different forms that this could take, of course, and we hope that the players and owners can get together on this in a way that's hopefully not so confrontational. Hopefully, you know, especially with a negotiation coming up next year, you don't want these sides to hate each other. So hopefully they can get this done amicably. We'll see if that's the case. But it does seem like the proposals that are going back and forth have gradually, and this has taken a long time, some would say too long, but they have gradually gotten a little bit closer together to the point that you really can envision an agreement in the next week. And then at that point, you're looking at 3 weeks of spring training and an opening day at some point in July.
How would, you know, this season, and certainly delayed by the COVID-19 pandemic, how does that play into the World Baseball Classic and the future there? Because I believe it was postponed, or it's looking like it's going to be played in 2021. Is there any indication that that's still going to go, or what's the read on that right now?
Yeah, they officially, I think it was official that they postponed it. So it will not be taking place next spring. And at this point, I believe it's scheduled to take place in 2022, which, you know, it's a fun tournament. I always enjoy watching it. Certainly, you look ahead to the next edition of it, and the Blue Jays will have a lot of guys in that tournament. You have to expect that Vlad Jr. would play for the Dominican, and Bo Bichette would be vying for a spot on Team USA. I mean, who knows? Maybe Austin Martin will be on the team by the time this thing gets going. But it's always a fun time, and it's something we'll have to wait a little bit longer for now under the circumstances.
We don't know what the season will look like in terms of the amount of games, but how does a shortened season play for the current iteration of the Blue Jays, and what does it mean for some of their top prospects? We mentioned the minor leagues. So, you know, would you expect a guy like Nate Pearson to play in the big leagues this year?
Yeah, I expect Pearson to play in the majors. I think if the season had started without COVID, okay, so let's, you know, go back to March and assume things progress normally at that point, then Pearson would have started the season in the minor leagues because the Blue Jays wanted him to be able to develop in an environment that had a little bit less pressure. But right now, the only chance for Pearson to face hitters in a game setting will be in the major leagues. So even from a development standpoint, it's hard to see any other scenario than him being in the majors, being at least on that taxi squad, if not on the major league roster. So I think that we will see him this year at some point, but it does impact his development. He has not been able to face hitters. He's still putting in work in Florida, still, you know, working very hard, doing bullpen sessions, very into the analytics and trying to get better, but it's different when you're not in games. And that applies to all Jays prospects, really. You're thinking about ways to improve. But that is not an easy thing to do when you don't have a game. So it's across baseball. You know, the Jays aren't unique in this, but whether it's Jordan Groshans or Simeon Woods Richardson or up and down the system, and this is still a good farm system that the Jays have, all these guys have had their development shift. I'm not going to say stagnate or stop because I don't think that's accurate, and the Jays are trying to find ways to develop them, but it's totally different than what we would have imagined a couple months back.
And finally, from people you've talked to around the league, you know, if Plato were, you know, if the league were to give the green light to the season and players were reporting back to camps, how long would a, you know, relaunch of spring training take, do you think? And what would the beginning of that season look like?
Yeah, I think it would be at least a few weeks because these guys have been away from game settings for so long. So especially on the pitching side, you need to get them, let's say, three outings. I mean, the first time out, you go two innings and then maybe three or four, and then you get your way up to five innings. Like that's a pretty bare bones approach. And that would take at least two, you know, potentially 3 weeks from everything that I've heard. So it's not a lot of time, especially compared to the 6 or 7 weeks they normally have. But if you expand rosters a little bit to open the season, you carry a few extra pitchers, then the expectation is no one's looking for 6 innings at that point from the starter. And no one's expecting these guys to be perfectly in game shape. But as long as they can do it safely, you know, you don't want them pulling hamstrings, to say nothing of COVID. You don't want them, you know, tearing labrums and having Tommy John surgery. So you get them warmed up for a few weeks, and then they should be good to go.
Ben Nicholson-Smith, thank you, man. We appreciate you. Enjoy the weather. I hear it's going to be smoking hot, and enjoy day 2.
Congrats on the hair,
too. Yeah, and just looking great.
Really good. Thanks, guys.